title, if you want to write it down, says, What Does It Matter? What does it matter? Philippians 1, I want to read quite a few verses. I was reading a couple days ago, actually Monday, and when I got to this, I thought, there is so much we could be talking about in this that's going on with all of our lives right now. Starting in verse 12, it says, But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy or strife, and some also for goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambitions, not necessarily supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am put here or appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, I will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and supply of spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectations of hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's interesting, as he goes on there, then he gets to discussing, really he's arguing with himself, well, should I just go ahead and die, or should I go ahead and live on? But he recognized that no matter what, think about where he's at now. He is in prison. He is in prison, shackled to other guards. And they claim, all the commentaries you read says, this particular book is the most joyous book in the New Testament. Yet he's writing from a prison cell. And I'll never forget when we went with Elias Malki. He took us to one of the cells and pointed a hole in the wall and said, look down in there. And it basically is where the sewer runs through, and that's where the prison was at. But all the while, Paul took this situation and he walked in joy. He took this that he was going through. It's interesting, too, if you look right there in verse 12, he says, But I want you to know, brethren, the things which happened to me. But he does not say another word about it. As I was just meditating on this and I read that, I went, well, he's not telling us. Well, why is he not telling you? Because it's not important. Because he has come to the place, he's actually come to the place in his life where he's recognized that he's growing up a little bit in the things of God. And he's actually being very bold and unfiltered in what he's saying in these scriptures, because he's just letting it all out. Listen, I'm here in prison. I can't do the things that I would like to be doing for the ministry, but the gospel's still getting out. But someone's preaching it. But what I'm going through is helping someone else. And I want to address that to all of us in what we're going through. And to this young lady that come up. I don't care what you have went through in the past. I don't care what you're going through right now. If we get our mindset on that God has got this. It's a place of, I don't care. It's like Butch. Most would have stayed home tonight, but not Butch. Butch has been through more than most all of us here, as far as heart and all the things, but yet he just keeps pushing on, keeps pushing on. He was told that they may have to take both outside toes off to get enough skin to pull it together to sew it, but yet they had enough grace and favor in it all that they just took one section of bones out, and they've got to get that to heal. He really, maybe you shouldn't be on it, but Butch. But he's taking the circumstance and he's going, this is the way it is. We had a situation this morning that arose, and it was just like in our family, it was like, okay, Lord, what's going on? Well, you can't go there. I mean, you want to, and you tend to, but you tend to pull back because he has got you. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what's taking place, where you're at. Paul was in prison, tied to other guards. He had a captive audience. He was able to share with them. It even says, if you read that, then it goes on and it says, have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard. Why? Because he kept his peace, because he realized that... See, listen, we're in a place of authority. We have that. And if we use our authority and it does not change the circumstance, then that circumstance falls back on your weakness. Because when you're weak, he is strong. So in other words, if you can't fix it, if it doesn't get fixed, if you've done what you can do, and the Holy Spirit has showed you the things to do, and it's still something's hanging on, then we fall back on our weakness, which is his strength. So no matter what's going on in your life, it's covered. Because see, as you read these scriptures, basically what he's saying is, I'm in prison and I can't change it. So obviously I've got something to grow up in, or someone else is going to learn from this. But I'm being used. What I'm walking through, I'm being used. Because God is not going to slap you down and leave you down and not, he doesn't slap you down. You may go down from the life we live, but no matter what happens to us, he knows that you're enough in you to get you out of this and walk you through this, but he'll use this to touch other lives and change other hearts. It's every time. It's every time. But we hear this, we talk about this, but we've got to get this individually. Not just me or not just you, but everybody's got to get this on their own. They got to come to a place and say, okay, here I am. I've bound every spirit I can bound. I've prayed every way I can pray. Nothing's changing. Okay, God, what did I do? Well, you didn't do anything. Then what do I need to learn? What do I need to change? What do I need to fix? How do I need to be? How do I need to handle it? It's not that something happens to you because you did. Something happens because we live. And it happens, but we've got to show the enemy, you're not bothering me. Because my God will supply all of my needs. I love him. He loves me. I abide in him. He abides in me. And if this is not to end right now, I'm still going to get through it. But while I'm getting through it, he basically was enjoying his time in prison. He was taking advantage of the time he's got. I relate to my son who has done basically the same thing. He is a Joseph in prison. All the guards like him. Why? Because he has put a spirit of praise on his life. He's put a spirit of joy on his life because he's been through. He's talked to the Lord. We've talked to the Lord. This circumstance doesn't seem right, but it's not changing. Well, if it's not changing, then God's going to use it. Grab that. If it's not going to change, God's using it. You're not the one being abused. You are allowing yourself to be abused, but you don't have to be abused in the midst of the storm. Even if you made a mistake and something happened, you drove too fast and had a wreck. Oh, this shouldn't have happened to me. Well, it did, but God will pull you through. And we learn from these things. Anytime you go through a heartache or someone talks about you or someone doesn't like you and you've heard they say things about you, the first thing you should do and I should do is say, did I do something to cause this problem? Because if I did, God, I want to get this straightened out. I had a man one time that we were close friends at the church I come from in Sparta. And then he came here for a while. And then all of a sudden it was like they backed away. And I finally, never seen him for years, finally seen him in the grocery store. And I said to him, can I talk to you just a moment right here? I don't know what has been said to you, but I have always loved you. You've always been my friend. I have never said anything against you, your wife, or your kids. So whatever's been said, I just want to let you know, I didn't do it. Well, in the midst of that, I could tell he was like, oh. And he knew me well enough to know. But see, all that while, you're going through something, but God's doing something in his heart, and God was doing something in my heart. God was trying to get me to the place of, make sure you get yourself right. See, he's always bringing us to the next level. But if you're mad while you're in prison, he can't do anything with you. If you're mad when you're sick, if you get mad at the doctors because you're sick, I mean, it's not the doctor's fault. He's trying to help you. I see it all the time. Well, I shouldn't have this. Well, no, none of us should. But we have it, so while you're walking through it, put a smile on your face and let's go on. And let's come to that place of understanding that God's got this. He's a good God. He is an amazing God. In verse 12 there, it says it actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Good things are going to happen if you let them happen. He wants to use each and every one of you. He wants to use us where we're at, who we see. We're in different seasons of our lives all of the time. From day to day, it's a new season. And you see different people from day to day. It's an amazing thing how every contact, there's a purpose for that. See, it's God's purpose that we want to be used. Wherever we're involved in whatever we're doing, we want him to take care of it. You got to get your focus. You know, Paul's basically saying in this, he's saying, let's focus on what God is doing, not on me. No, I don't want to be here. But folks, he doesn't stay there. He gets delivered out of there. But what happens while he's there? I can't imagine being cuffed to two people and that's just where you spend your day. I mean, I need to pick my nose. Could I have my hand? I mean, just think about what you're going through. I mean, but see, most of the time we want the situation changed.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
You're at work with somebody and you're working on an assembly line and you're standing next to somebody that just is driving you crazy, 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 crazy. Every day it's just crazy, crazy, crazy. And you want your situation changed and you pray, God, move this person and do something. And all the while you're still by that same crazy, 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 crazy. Maybe God doesn't want to change the situation. Have you ever thought that he thinks more of you than the situation? And he wants you to grow up and be able to deal with that. If that's bothering you, then what's it bothering? Yeah. I thought you were dead. Because the Bible said you died with Christ. And if you've got someone you're working with you that's driving you crazy, then you're not dead. So if that situation continues on, then we need to come to the place of recognizing, okay, I'm going to work today, and I know this person's going to work on driving me crazy, but I've decided that I'm just going to be just as crazy as they are. And I'm just going to be there. And I'm just going to do my job. You watch how things change. You watch. You know, it's interesting. We get in a situation or in a job or in a place that we're uncomfortable and don't like. And we can't get out of it. I've been there. We've all been there. If you will just come to the place and say, okay, God, here I'm going to stay. I did that with youth department when I was at Sparta. I really knew this wasn't my call, and I knew I was supposed to move on to different things. But I said to the Lord, finally said to the Lord, Lord, here I am, and here I'm going to stay just as long as you want me to, because obviously this is what you want me to do. It wasn't but just a short time when there was a change in our life. But I had to come to the place of saying, here I am. I'm willing to be wherever you want me to be. I don't like the situation. I would love for the situation to change, but the situation is not changing, so here I am. So let's make the best of it. And I guarantee you, I've done this multiple times. I did this working at the coal mines. Lord, I'm ready. I'm tired of being with this person. I'm tired of running this equipment. I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired of eating the dust. I had to deal with explosives for about 2 years. Dynamite every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. I dealt with dynamite. And when dynamite got old, it gets slimy, which is the stuff that's very dangerous. But when you get that in the pores of your hands, you end up what we call at the mines a dynamite headache, to where you could not hardly stand it. And I had dealt with that and dealt with that different times, that I would get that. And you didn't even want, all you want to do is go home and just close your eyes. And I would say to the Lord, Lord, I've done this long enough. Anything, I don't care what it is, Lord, find something else for me. Well, it just didn't change. Well, I finally said the same thing that I'm telling you right now. Lord, if I have to put up with this from now on, I will be the best coal shooter that they've got. I will do my job. I will take care of it. And then it changed. It's amazing. And it's funny, this happened multiple times in my life, because I'm a little hard-headed at times on that kind of stuff. But when I seen it, that it works, then I would get to where, when it's time to change, now I've got to the place where I'd so accepted this that I didn't want to change then. I become too faithful to what I was doing. But you got to get to the place, you know, everything that you do in your life, you never hold it. I don't care what job you're on right now. I don't care what's going on in your life right now. You better hold it real lightly, because it's God's. And whatever's going on in your life, however good it is or however bad it is, whatever's going on in your life, you hold it lightly. So if he wants to remove it, he can. Because, see, many of us like to make our way, and then we have to make our way. We want a position, then we have to keep our position. When he didn't want you to have that position to start with. But see, Paul is saying, guys, it's okay. The gospel will go forward. Maybe God wants me to grow up. Maybe God, you know, here Paul saying, maybe God wants me to grow up. Writes 2/3 of the New Testament. Maybe God wants to help somebody else. Maybe God's interested in just my life and not interested in your situation that you're battling. Maybe he's going to take care of me. If it's for the advance, it is. Verse 17 down there, it says, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed. I like that scripture, because we're all appointed where we are. In some places it says, it doesn't say appointed. There's another word for it there. It says basically says, let me find it. 17. You're just put there. Some said, kind of, what's it say in the Amplified?
Is it 1:17?
Yes. What's it say? Philippians 1:17.
Of a party spirit, insincerely out of no pure motive, but thinking to annoy me, supposing that they are making my bondage more bitter and my chains more galling.
Okay, his bondage, there's where that would be. He's appointed in that bondage. You say, well, God does that? No, you just ended up there, and then he said, well, let's just keep you there, Walker, because there's good things going to come out of this. Let's just keep you there. There's good things going to take place here. Verse 18, then, you drop down. On my Bible, it says, what then? But in the new, not New Kings, but in the Amplified, I think it is, it says, but what does it matter? He said, what does it matter if they're preaching it this way or preaching that way, if I'm in jail or if I'm out of jail, if I'm sick or if I'm well, if I'm rich or if I'm poor? What does it matter? What does it matter? I like to say, what does it matter to us when we deal with people in life and things in life, and someone comes to you and they give you some gossip about somebody, use this line. What does it matter? Because it's none of your business. It's none of their business for them getting that business. But what does it matter? But if you knew what they were doing, what's the matter? The gospel is going to go forward. It is not going to stop just because somebody's gossiping. They're going to suffer, but life is going to go on, folks. If we would just start loving each other where we are and what's going on and recognize everybody in here is in a different place. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've been through or what's going on in your life. We're all in a different place, but we're all the same. Because God will use you in whatever you've been through or use you in whatever you're going through, no matter what's going on in your lives. The Derrickses. I knew his mother. She would let anybody stay at his house. That's just the way they were. Anybody's welcome to hang out. Well, in that then, God used that from generation to generation. Now they got a house full. Many level house that they've had to add on to. And probably talking about adding again. No, you're done. No. We're good. But it doesn't grab this. Well, here I am in this. Well, just enjoy what this is. But I hate my job. Well, change your hate. Be thankful that you have a job. And do your job as unto God and not the people that's around you, and you'll find you'll enjoy your job better. Be a witness while you're there, just being good, being kind. You don't have to preach the gospel. As a matter of fact, don't preach the gospel. Preach the gospel by your life and not run people off and make people think you're weird. Let them get weird with you because you are weird. Peculiar people. Never mind. But you are peculiar. But what does it matter? Don't allow your shattered expectations to stop the flow of God. Can I just say it that way? I mean, don't allow these things that you get blindsided by in life, get so caught up in them that it stops the move of what God is doing. God has got a plan in your life. Remember that He always sees tomorrow and you don't. He always knows tomorrow and you don't. And He always knows where the roadblock's going to be and you don't. But yet He's already made a way around the roadblock that you don't know about. So when you see the roadblock, what you're supposed to do is say, oh, now what do I do, Lord? I trust you in going around this. I trust you in going through this. How do you want me to deal with this? But I know you've got the answer, Lord. Just take me through this and I'm going to be with you. But you can't get to those thoughts of the problem. You can't let those thoughts entertain you and get in that worry mode about other people and other family and other sicknesses in your family. You can't go there because that is none of your business. Your place is to lift them up in prayer and thank the Lord that they're healed and leave it alone, because your worry does nothing but make you sick. You've got to come to the place of saying, you see it, but you just lift it up and let it go, because it'll bring you down, and that's exactly what the devil wants in all of your lives. You feel guilty about something you might have said or did. Let it go, because you should never feel that. That is not from God. Guilt is not from God. Condemnation is not from God. You just readjust, repent, move on, and watch God use your mistake for glory. I mean, think about the man that's writing most of the New Testament. Think about the wrong side of the brain that he had to fight. Think about the people he killed or had killed, and now he's preaching the gospel, and now he's in prison where he had put people in prison. The thoughts that could have been coming to him, he could have said, well, I deserve this. He could have said, all the bad I did, they should have just killed me. I mean, he could have beat himself completely down, but instead he had such a revelation, the same revelation we need to grab, that it's going to be okay. What I did in the past is behind me. I'm going to forget it and move on. I'm going to do the best I can do, and eventually I will grow out of this. I will be lifted up out of this. I will walk out of this. I know God's got me because God loves me. He's not going to do it to me. If anybody does it to me, it's going to be me. And I'm not going to go there. Paul said, I am not going there. Oh, to think that I thought I was working for God. Think about that. How many times have you heard something that you thought was God that it kind of bombed out? We've all been there. But look at him. And then him mentally having to deal with, God, I really was sincere in getting rid of the way. And what'd God say? I understand that. That's why I want you to use it and go the right way. And I understand, and you are forgiven of all that. It absolutely is gone. Now you just come back to the place of recognizing whatever you go through now, I'm not knocking you down. It's just part of life. And here he is in prison. But I'm supposed to be taking the gospel out. No, he didn't say that. He said everything's going to work for good. I keep going back to that first line. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me ended up being good. It's a great thing that happened to me. God's trying to use us, folks. He's a good God. It's his purpose that really matters, folks. It's his purpose. So wherever you are, I don't know where anybody is individually. You know, you have your thoughts, but everybody's so different in their self. Wherever you are in your mind and the things that are going on in your mind maybe, or where you're at in your sickness or where you're at in life, back up and say, okay, God, you know I'm here. I have prayed till I'm blue in the face. So I am just going to see this is my mission. This is where I'm going to be. You say, well, that's given up. No, it's not given up. It's given God. Because maybe your situation is not going to change. I mean, we got people that are battling severe sicknesses, and maybe those sicknesses are not going to change. Does that mean God doesn't love them? No, that means God's loved them enough to know they can deal with it to help other people as they march through. Because, folks, this is but boot camp is all this is. When the drill sergeant told me to drop and do 50, that wasn't a problem back in those days. But when he said do 50 more because I smarted back to him, I was in trouble. We just do wherever we're at. We just, whatever we're going through, I'm just gonna go through this. I'm in between vehicles again. I sold my little truck without air conditioning. And there was a time when I would have been in panic mode looking for something to have, to drive. So we looked at a few last night, and I said, no. One will come along. I mean, I used to just grab whatever I could grab. No, I'm going to wait till this is the one I want. I'm all right. We're okay. We're blessed. We're okay. Well, and it's no different than when I bought this truck, and you all know the story, that it didn't have an air conditioner. It was okay. It was pretty hot and sticky in the summer. But the owner came and bought it back. It was neat. The young boy, just a super kid, come back and said, you know, I'd like to get my truck back. Any way we can work out a deal? I said, yes, we can. And I told him right before he took it, now, you know, it don't have an air conditioner, I said. He laughed at me, and I laughed at him. Why not? Why not go through things? And he didn't even know what took place with it. Because he was a young boy then. Now he's grown up a little bit. Matter of fact, he got on at the hospital being a maintenance man and just got a pretty good future and loves it. I mean, God's blessing him, and I blessed him. And I mean, that's whatever you're in. I don't care where it's at. That's like I've watched Brad and Tony and Brian and Denny getting ready to get this gym going. And I said to Brad, I said, it's so neat. I spent Thursday over there helping them out. And it's so neat. Brian was doing his thing. And then they come in with all this equipment to set up. And they come to Brian because Brad didn't get over there yet. And Brian said, I don't know. Brad's got that. He'll be here in a minute. They were just all doing their thing and everybody was just relaxed. Even though it had to be stressful to start a business, yet they're dealing with it as in Christ. Brad's better at that than I am, and I'm better at this than he is. And so we'll just do our special things, and it works, and it's working. And hopefully in 2 weeks it'll be done. They're hoping. They're putting in too many hours. But that's their pressure point right now. We've got to get this done So the pressure's there. So how do you handle it? You work at it, and then you back off a day and just go, okay, I'm not even going to think about it today. I'm just, because I'm going to go through it. It's going to end, folks. Whatever you're going through, I promise you it will end. See, we're actually, if you think about it this way, we are weapons. Now listen, because see, if you handle, you are sneaky. See, the enemy's throwing this stuff on us, and he gets the, most responses are the same to the problems, so he thinks he's got you. But when he gets you in a place where he's expecting a response, and your response is a Christ response, and your response is, oh well, Lord, what are we going to do with this? I guess we'll walk through it. Now he's in trouble because he knows while you're weak, he knows the scriptures. He knows that while you're weak and you recognize I can't do it, he's going to do it through us. And the grace is going to be poured on you. And when you come to that place of resting, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. When you rest, that's when the grace comes in. When you rest, the grace is there to complete the travel. The travel may be rough. It may be up and down and bumpy, but it'll get you there. You may not be driving in a limousine. You might be in an old rugged Jeep, but you'll get there. He didn't promise you a rose garden. But he did promise you the end result. And he did promise you there's nothing he can put on you that in your weakness and his strength, he'll walk you through. And he'll bring you through it. And that's all. That's really, when you look at this, that's what Paul's saying. Because they're saying, aren't you mad? Because he's knowing that they're thinking, aren't you mad that you're in there and you're in prison and there's people preaching wrong and they're doing things that you should be doing? And he goes, whatever. Whatever. What does it matter? Who cares? I mean, it's all right. It will be okay. See, I'm created to do good works. That's what the Bible says. Well, if I'm created to do good works, then I've got to get in a place of resting so that I can be a weapon that can destroy the enemy around me, and I can just keep doing good works and keep doing good works. I can be at the place of knowing that he's going to take care of me. The purpose is the main thing. The situation doesn't change. If it doesn't change, you move on. See, folks, we've got to live with a positive expectation of good. Verse 20 down there says, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body. Then he goes on and says, whether in life or death. In other words, I am so content in knowing God that if I die in this prison, it's still to his glory. If I live, it's going to be to his glory. And then he argues with himself. I know you need me around because I know I got some more stuff to get you. So I guess I'll put up with it for a little while longer. Well, that's basically the next few verses. He has come to that place, which we all want to get there, where I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to love God. I'm going to love people. And I'm just going to go to bed. And I'm going to get up in the morning. Push the dog out of the way. Love God. Love people. And go to bed. And love my dog. And go to bed. Come on. See, life can be so much better than we're making it. Butch knew he had to go through surgery Monday. So he just called and said, going to be going through surgery Monday. And we all lifted him up here Sunday morning. He went through surgery, and here he is tonight. What did he do? He got up, he loved God, he loved people, and he went to bed. What do you do for a living? It doesn't matter what you do for a living. You get up, you love God, you love the people you're around, and you go to bed. Well, yeah, but it's not any good where I'm at. If you love the people, it will be. If you don't allow the enemy to pull you down, it will be. If you don't allow people to pull you down, it will be. You can't let people, listen, I had somebody come to me and said, they're trying to make somebody so happy. I said, quit. Stop. You cannot make anybody happy. Because if you're finding your joy, listen, let me sidetrack a minute. Whatever is first in your life, if it's not God, you're going to devastate yourself. Grandparents, if your grandkids are number one, you're going to be devastated. If your husband's number one, you're going to be devastated. If your wife's number one, you're going to be devastated. If your job's number one, you're going to be devastated. If your sports is number one, you're going to be devastated. Because that cannot continue. It will not continue. So it's important for us to pay attention. What is first in my life? Well, see, this group, it's not hard to see what's first. Not many people come out on a Wednesday night anymore. First, God's first. God's first. And then everything falls under that. But if anything else gets there, then you're going to find yourself falling, getting hurt, and your joy's lost. But see, if God's number one, but how could he be number one if bad things are going on? Because he's the one that takes you through. It's interesting. When people go through hard times, many people quit church. They get mad at God when he's the only one that's going to bring you through it. Because all the while, he had a way through it. It doesn't matter. I look back, Miss Pinford back there with a sling on her shoulder still. She's had multiple surgeries. Well, what is she going to do? Just keep going. You can't quit. You just got to trust God where you are. What's going on? Well, I don't have any money right now. It's all right. Just trust God and move on. Paul flat had it down, I think. He just flat took care of every situation, every circumstance that went on in our lives. He had it, every situation. He literally was saying in verse 20 there, he literally was saying, according to my earnest expectation and hope. In other words, I have hope, which is positive expectation of good. And of that, he's basically saying, I don't care what goes on in my life. It's going to be, I'm trying to get this in you. It doesn't matter what's going on. You got a sick mom. There's nothing we can do about it. Pray and trust. Pray and trust. If you think your prayer doesn't work, then you're not going according to the word. Because if you pray, it will be answered. It's always answered. It may not be answered like you want it, but it's answered like it's supposed to be. And then we accept what goes on, and that's the way it is. We had two grandkids and a daughter-in-law killed. Well, Lord, where were you at? Well, he was there. He knew it already. He already knew the evil of the world. He already knew what was taking place. We got people that's had to go to war and kill people. That's just all part of the way it is. We had this one man, this one diplomat that they're arguing over now that went in and supposedly got cut up and hauled off. Well, how come? Well, why? I don't know why. I don't know who he was. I don't know what he was, but God knew all that. We had a man that went to jail for 2 years because he was there 25 years and loved the people. But he got put in jail like Paul. And his words this morning were, I just trusted God. That's what he said. I just trusted God that he would get me out. And if he didn't, that's just where I was going to be. Could you imagine? We got to imagine. Because that's where you got to go. Wherever you're doing in life. You're making it miserable because you're going into the surroundings and you've already got your mindset, I don't like this place. I don't like the people. Why don't you go in with a different mindset? Why don't you go in, God's got me here. And they're all ripping on me. They're all planning against me. They won't listen to me. Well, maybe you just need to go in and love them. Maybe you just need to go in and do your job. The best you can do, whatever goes, whatever. Just, you're killing yourself. Just come to the place of going, you know, this place in my mind stinks. I don't like it. But here's where I am. So I'm going in with joy. Paul was in jail, shackled in the sewer. And he chose to be happy. The whole book of Philippians is about the joy of the Lord. It's about whatever you're going through, it don't matter. It's going to be okay. It's your choice. But my husband, he's crazy. Well, have you ever thought about just going on with life? I told somebody the other day, I said, hey, you're not going to change her. God's got to change her. You just go, take care of your kids, be a good father, be happy, and go on. You can't fix it. You've tried too many times. You just go, be happy, God will deal with it. The enemy wants everybody to be unhappy. The enemy wants everybody pulled down from your circumstance. He will take your sickness and drive everybody else crazy if you'll let him. The enemy will. Or you can get one on him because you're a weapon, and you can say, I don't care what I got. I'm going to be joyful. I don't care what I'm dealing with. I'm going to be joyful. That doesn't mean I'm not going to be sick, and that doesn't mean I'm not going to feel good. That doesn't mean I'm not going to struggle with emotions. But I am not going to let it affect anybody else. Dr. Craig said to us when Brad came down with that real rare blood disorder years ago, go home and be as normal as you can. And that's what we did. We just went on about our business. God touched him and healed him. Now he's, I don't know where he got his genes. He didn't get it out of this guy. But you just, I mean, that statement really is where we're supposed to live. Just go on and be. I went that night and taught Bible to the youth at church. The night we heard he had a deadly disease. Why? Because I was told by the Holy Spirit through him, just keep your life normal. Just keep doing it. Because we was expecting in the natural of him to just get weaker, 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 weaker and die. Because that was the verdict they had at that time on him. So we just went on with. And we told very few of the possibilities because we knew if it got out wrong, it would be talked wrong. So you just get in line, you get up in the morning, you love God, you love people, and you go to bed. That's all you do. You know, Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for the good. I mean, really, that scripture is so powerful. Folks, he wants us to trust him in everything. He wants us to know that we're a weapon in everything. Don't have a short fuse. Just be a weapon that he can use. Come to the place of understanding, folks. He has got his mind on you all of the time. All of the time. If I already know what's going to happen tomorrow, then I can help somebody today. Crazy analogy, but if anybody's poured concrete, you know what that concrete's going to do. It's going to get hard. So you've got stuff you got to do between here and there. And that's what God's doing in our life. He knows the end. So he's trying to work you the best you'll let him to get to the end where he wants you. If we don't do nothing, the concrete's still going to get hard. If you dump it in the floor and don't touch it, it's going to get hard. And that's what you're going to have, just a big pile of hard concrete. But if you work it like you want it, you can put it exactly where you want it, how you want it, and it can look like you want it.
That's right.
But you got to do it between here and there. And that's what God's trying to do in our lives. He's saying, guys, you're going through hard stuff. That's all part of life. Just go through it with a smile. But I hate my work. Those people, I'll be so glad when I can retire. You should have a mindset of, I don't want to leave here because I want to touch lives and change lives. Because you are affecting everybody around you all the time. We had a lady that quit. I got to quit. We got a lady that quit at Casey's that I missed. And I said, where's she at? And well, she had to move to a different job. But she's missed. Why? Because she had a part to play there in what was going on. You all do. Wherever you're at and whoever you're with, God wants to use you because his mind is on you. So when someone comes up to you and starts getting you off on the evil side, just say, what does it matter? What does it matter? Maybe they'll be quiet. Maybe we'll grow up. Let's stand up. Father, we thank you. Lord, we see where Paul had so much to deal with in his mind. But yet when he got locked in prison, he took advantage to be able to sit down and to write to the Philippian church and many others while he was there to help us to deal with life in general. Thank you, Father. Whatever we've went through, it's in the past. Wherever we're going, you're going to take care of. So help us just to enjoy every moment of every day. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Call you blessed.